when you see that one striking moment on stage of a light shafting through a window and catching the actor just right as they come down stage or whatever, you know, that is also really fulfilling.
So hey everyone, this is Carolee.
This is Daniel.
And this is the Actor Hack Podcast.
And we have Nick with us here today.
Hi.
Nick.
Hello.
Hey Nick, and we are back in Brooklyn. We were in Manhattan 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. It took us that long to get home.
Well, customs, you know.
Tell us where you're from.
I was born in Tampa Bay, Florida.
Where did you go to school?
I started a lighting program at University of Nebraska in Lincoln, and I transferred with a professor to Penn State. I did lighting in high school, so I knew that I wanted to go to college for a lighting career.
I find that's a really common thing with designers, that they sort of find a mentor.
Mm-hmm. Particularly lighting in design world, everyone can kind of trace their lighting lineage, sort of all the way back to like the big four. I started under William, who studied under this person and that person. There is a mentorship sort of built into being under a particular person, and then graduating and going out to the real world. It's very tight-knit for whatever reason.
So he helped you, when you graduated, sort of set you up?
Yeah.
Way?
Actually, the summer right after school, I was doing some summer classes in State College still. He hooked me up with a company that was hiring for technicians for cruise ships.
Cool.
So that was my first job that I never had. I had it, and I never did it.
Going back, in high school, you already knew that you wanted to do lighting?
I sort of got involved in lighting in sixth grade. I went to a technology magnet middle school in St. Pete, and that led me to sort of work with the film program. The instructor for the film program was staying after one day to rehang the studio. They were reconfiguring stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I stayed to help and had lots of questions about, like, well, why is this light going here? And what is this thing called? And if I lick this, will it hurt? And, like, you know.
And it did.
Lesson learned very early. You know, I think that it was, I sort of fell into it very, very early. I'm a big nerd. So it has sort of always encompassed my passion for art and for tech. It's sort of a really great overlap. I did lighting all through high school and then wanted to do it into college and do a career. So
when your professor went to Penn, was it like a no-brainer, I'm going with this person, or?
It was kind of that. I was 21. I was already 3 years in Nebraska. He called me up and said, hey, you know, I have this opportunity. I'm going to be moving schools. I called my mom. You know, it was about a month and a half before the semester was starting for the next year, for what would have been my senior year at Nebraska. So I called my mom, who has always been sort of my touchstone, my stability, my sanity.
Yeah.
And after being on the phone with her for only like 15 minutes, she's like, well, it sounds like you want to go, so you have to go. So I called William back and said, hey, can I come along? So from when that phone call happened to when I was moving into graduate housing at Penn State was about 30 days. It was terrifying and
awesome.
Wild and
exciting, though.
Sure. It is now when you look back at it. It was me, and then another student followed the year after from Penn State. He didn't dive in quite as quickly, my friend John, but he ended up transferring to Penn State as well. So.
And so how much longer did you have then at Penn State?
Well, it turns out transferring credits are all up to the receiving university, so I lost 30 credits in the transfer.
Oh, Jesus Christ!
Yeah, it was a lot of gen ed stuff. So I had 2 junior years and 2 senior years.
Nice!
But so then were you doing stuff in the summer then, or were you doing the state school in summer, or were you doing, like, lighting jobs?
I was doing lighting jobs. I did some summer classes, but was also taking master electrician jobs, programming jobs, designing jobs. I sort of got to the point, maybe a year or two into Penn State, that I realized that I kind of like designing, but I'm, you know, there were other people that would make these profound, beautiful things on stage, and I'd see that and understand it and love it. And I didn't feel like I was making the same level of creative decisions, but I was very much into the gear and the technology.
Mm-hmm. Like, I can help you get there.
Right, exactly. Want. Like, yeah. You need this thing. I know how to make the very complex computer systems that run all these things. I know how to make them purr. I know how to set up networking and infrastructures. I know how to troubleshoot data systems and things. So I like to say that I studied lighting design with, like, a technology emphasis. And the school was really great. All of my faculty was great about sort of allowing me to dig into other projects that weren't just design related.
And so then did you always know that you wanted to move to New York?
I think that was always the end goal. You know, the Broadway market was always sort of a big pie in the sky interest. You know, I had worked some corporate gigs and sort of bigger events, award shows and concert touring. Live event stuff was also of interest. There's a finesse that's in theater, in lighting design, that a lot of other production sides don't have time for.
Right.
You know, they slam in a rig, they do a rock and roll show, and it's in the next city the next night.
Mm-hmm.
In theater, we spend, you know, weeks in tech and programming to get that one moment just perfect.
Yeah.
So that was appealing to my art side. So I was... As a freelancer, you kind of go where the work is, so...
Chloe the dog, who has not been introduced on the podcast yet, is completely in Nick's business.
Mm.
She starts obedience school tonight, so, like, this is a work in progress.
That's very
I'm so
funny.
Sorry, Nick. So then, after you graduated from Penn, did you immediately come to New York?
Before leaving State College, I actually had accepted a job. There was a new cruise line ship that was being built in Germany in dry dock, and I'd been hired to start the technical program for that boat.
Mm-hmm.
So go over while it was still in dry dock. Get the rig up and running, get policies and procedures started for hiring a tech crew, things like that. So I had about 2 months before that was going to start, and my two best friends were moving to Vegas to work for Cirque. So we road tripped across the country. The idea was that I was going to help them move in, get settled, and then they were going to fly me out of Vegas to Germany, and away we would go. I had been involved with ETC, which is the company that I work for now. Again, in school, I had always been sort of a gearhead, so I was sort of pestilent about borrowing new gear and testing beta software. And,
mm-hmm.
So I had been very closely involved with them. So shortly after I got to Vegas, the gentleman who had the job that I currently hold called and said, "Hey, I'm moving with my family to Arizona. I think you'd be really great for this job. You should apply." I quit the job that I had to apply for the job that was sort of my dream job.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty heartbreaking to call my boss, whom I had never actually met, who had hired me, and he was upset but completely understanding, you know.
Yeah.
You can't fault you for that.
Understood
yeah.
the opportunity, yeah. So,
That's another thing that we sort of heard from Sarah as well as a designer. They always understand you taking a better opportunity.
Yeah, I think if there's enough, as long as you're not leaving anyone in a lurch,
yeah.
You know, you never want to burn any bridges. You know, I think you always ask permission for that sort of thing.
Right.
And a lot of times having someone, again, the design community is very, very small. Oftentimes you can recommend someone that you know. So
right.
You're kind of like, not me, but this person that I know and love and will
and can
work hard for you.
The job that you then accepted, so what's the title?
The title is Field Project Coordinator, which I think is intentionally ambiguous. Basically, my company, Electronic Theater Controls, ETC, is a manufacturer of lighting control systems, fixtures, automation, all sorts of electronic-y, theater-y stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I like to kind of say that I'm sort of the front lines for New York City. And in particular, I specialize in control and networking. The headquarters is in Middleton, Wisconsin, which is just outside of Madison.
Can I ask why?
The guy who started the company by the name of Fred Foster was at UW-Madison in the lighting program. The company was actually founded on a bet. Back in the 70s, there were these massive, you know, $200,000 computers that were running lighting rigs at the time. And his brother was an engineer at UW, and they said, "Oh, we can do the same thing for $5,000. They chipped in a bunch of money, you know, like $300 for a hard drive or something,
mm-hmm.
and sort of begged and borrowed and stealed the rest of it. And in a year, they had a working prototype. Our company's still owned by that guy, you know.
That's really
a
cool.
lighting guy who owns a lighting company. So we have our New York office. I support the Broadway and broadcast market here.
So how many is in your office here?
We're about 15, so we're a pretty small office. The company's over 1,000 people globally. Madison has the most people there,
mm-hmm.
About 800. And then we have an office in L.A. and Orlando and Houston domestically. And then we have offices in London, Hong Kong, Holzkirchen, Australia, all over, Italy.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's interesting because we involve a lot of end users. We involve people who use our products. But we also work a lot in the construction industry, right? When you put in a new lighting system, it's generally built into the building. It's an electrical system.
Right.
So we also have project managers and applications engineers and drafters and things that, get stuff built to go into the construction side of the world. So
who hires you guys? Are you dealing with producers, or are you dealing with theaters, building managers? Like, what, how does that work?
I like to equate sort of our business model to a car model, right? Mm-hmm. You can't go to Ford and say, I want to buy a Ford,
right?
You go to a local dealer who's authorized to represent Ford, mm-hmm. and you buy that car through them.
Right.
So we're sort of set up the same way. We manufacture the stuff. We have sales distribution channels, but we are very, very much in touch directly with our end users as well. You know, if you're programming a show, you're in that for sometimes 14 hours a day. So it's a very personal space.
Mm-hmm.
So we spend a lot of time, and part of my job is, I guess that's the field part of my field project coordinator title, is going out and sitting in techs and just, you know, sitting in tech rehearsal behind a programmer or behind a designer, so that when they're, you know, programming and mowing along and trying to get stuff done as quickly as possible, they can turn around and go, oh, that thing, see, that's the thing that I don't like. And we can take notes and start to improve software and things like that, so.
Oh, that's cool. So it's basically like they have a shorthand if they, like, don't understand something or if they need something changed, rather than, like, calling customer service on a machine, you're right there.
Yeah, because, you know, we call it, you know, it's the heat of battle, right? Everybody's in tech, and it's an interesting sort of thing from a design perspective. The lighting design team is the only team that does their work in front of everyone else, right? The scenic designer does all the shop and everything loads in and they touch up. The costume designer and their team prep stuff in the shop and bring it in. It really is the lighting designer who sits down and is like, okay, let's start this.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of speed that's involved. How can I customize it so I can be faster? That's really always the thing. How can I be faster? So we spend a lot of time trying to take as much feedback as possible. And that's where I work with our R&D department, our developers,
mm-hmm.
our software engineers.
Like, this is useful, this is not.
Yeah, and trying to aggregate things, you know, like this one person wants it this way, this other person wants it this way. Where's the middle ground that will get the job done, but may cover everybody and get it done?
Right.
So even though I'm not a freelance production person, I'm still in the theater all the time, which is really fulfilling.
How long have you been with this company?
About 10 years.
And so, like, the technology from when you started to now is, like, totally different, right?
Yeah, there has been a big shift in data infrastructures, right? Mm-hmm. Everything's on the network. You can control everything with your iPhone. You know, like, EOS, the project that I work on, which is our flagship console line, was well in existence before iPhones existed. To have a software platform that continues to be active and fresh and developed and support users that we have had for 10 years and also attract new users is always a fun challenge.
Because I remember working the light, though, no, I was working the soundboard, but I remember, like, lights were totally different than moving lights, and that was all separate than spotlight ops, obviously, because there were people. Is that all more integrated in that?
Yeah, that was a big shift, actually, for my company's product offerings. There were boards that were just good at moving lights, and there were boards that were just good at what we call conventional rigs, traditional Source 4s and things like that.
Right.
Both moving light desks, traditional moving light desks, and traditional conventional desks, their next generations of boards have a lot more features that can cover a whole rig. And now media, moving pixel mappy things, video walls, effects integration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lighting has sort of become scenery.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, because LEDs are so inexpensive now.
Mm-hmm.
So LEDs have really changed the paradigm of control.
When you're traveling, is that mainly you being there for people's tech?
It is a lot of tech. So I was just, earlier this week, I was down at Actors Theater with Tony Penna, who was the LD for Dracula and their gang of folks, which has been a show that they've had, he told me, 17 years, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, don't they do that, like, every year?
They do it every year. So it was sort of a sidebar, but what was super fun about it, it's very much a horror show, so it's not sort of campy, over the top. It's got its moments, but but by and large, you know, there's, like, lots of blood squirting everywhere, and, like, and it is technically, like, one of the more impressive shows I've seen in that size space anywhere.
Cool.
They have tons of lifts and gags, and, like, it really is a very technically sophisticated show. A large amount of their performances are for students.
Mm-hmm.
So students from the Louisville area who, middle school, high school, may have never been into a theater before.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they're, like, super jazzed to, like, see all these, like, really cool effects.
They were excited to come in. And so to make a short story as long as possible, I went down to observe tech, but they invited me to come see the first preview of the show with students. Like, just being in the room where stuff was revealed and, like, tricks were happening and, like, people were getting stabbed and blood was shooting out and, like, to see their reaction
yeah.
was like, awesome. Okay, this is why we do what we do. Like, this is why we spend weeks of tech and fighting and, you know, bickering and getting every moment right. They had never seen anything in front of them with their real eyes like that. You know, like, they've seen movies and stuff, but there was a whole other experience.
But, you know, it's like, it's to the point now where everything, even if it looks real, we know it's fake on a movie. Like, to actually see that physically in front of you with some kind of, like, grace to it.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
There right, to not really know how they did that. To be like, oh my God.
Yeah, yeah.
It's theater magic.
And it's a small space. Like, no one is more than 50 feet away from the stage. There's a moment in the show where Dracula disappears. Like, just, he's on stage, there's people kind of around him, and he just is gone in a moment. And Tony said that he was watching some videos from previous years, and there was this one kid during that moment that he heard on the rehearsal tape, and the kid just, the moment happened, and he went, what? like that's why...
What?
Yeah, like how's that possible, you know?
Kids don't know not to, like, be loud at the theater.
Yeah.
Which is, like, you know, part of the joy.
Because two of our really good friends met while he was doing Dracula at Louisville, and she used to put his mic on him, and now they are married and expecting a child.
Dracula makes everybody's lives better.
Exactly.
Very cute.
So that's a lot of your...
lucky kids. They don't have to watch Diary of Anne Frank.
I was just, you know...
Which was a great production, but it was not...
You know, nobody was disappearing like that.
Yeah, I can't imagine...
I don't think I had any vocal reaction.
And then I do a bunch of internal stuff with the controls. So I'm often in Madison for controls meetings, feature bumps, and things like that. And I also am tied into our education front for controls. So I do all the I'm the face of all the videos, which is slightly weird.
That's cool.
Yeah. I think one of my weirdest experiences at the company so far is seeing my video with a Russian man talking.
That's amazing.
It was really terrifying. they did it, so it's, you know, the videos are being translated internationally. So I spend a lot of time doing trainings, techs, and then we have trade shows as well that we go to hawk our wares.
Mm-hmm. Is it a lot of, like, there's a really simple way to do this and you're doing it wrong? Is it like that, or?
Sometimes. Yeah. You know, you never try and say it quite that
way.
You're all wrong. Get out of here.
I mean, in your head, as that was happening, like, this could be really simple and you're making it really complicated.
Sometimes. You know, there's definitely places where I feel like people that come from different systems, either, you know, the arts never has money, right? So... a new $35,000 lighting system doesn't just show up every year, right? Yeah. Like, so people that have been in legacy systems for a very long time and have been doing this day in and day out for the past 15 years the same way, people that come from other systems that we don't manufacture, they all sort of have different languages. There is sometimes a translation issue to say, like, no, you're trying to do it the old way or the different way. It's just different here, right? It's just different. So there's a little bit of that. To the flip side of that, there's also a lot of very high-end users that I interact with that are in this system all day, every day, and tell us how it would be better and faster.
Right.
You know, they're, well, if I could only do this one thing, I would shave off, like, 3 keystrokes or not have to make a macro or whatever. It's sort of both sides of the coin.
Do you enjoy all the traveling?
I do. I know that it's not for everybody. I sort of find a zen in it, and I think I have a philosophy about travel, particularly airline travel, which is that you get sucked into the system at the top of the day, and the system is going to do whatever it's going to do to you, and then when it's done with you, it spits you out the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to not, you know, there's going to be delays occasionally. My flight to Louisville got in at 2 a.m. when I was going down there. Theater call is at 8:30, you know, so that doesn't change. But I do, you know, I get to go sit in theaters all over and talk with lighting people about lighting stuff. I don't think that's too bad of a gig, so anywhere from, you know, a park in Brooklyn up to an arena.
Mm-hmm.
So depending on who's out and who needs either us to stop by to assist or to just observe. Obviously, there's lots of outdoor theaters in the country, so they use our stuff. And actually, a large market space that we hold, particularly on the coast, is TV and film.
So do you visit sets and things?
Yeah. I was at Daily Show yesterday. They had a little network hiccup that we had to go get through. They're fine. They went on air.
The show will go on.
They went on air. Everyone was very gracious.
Are there times where you go to these places and you're like,
fuck, I don't know how to fix this.
Yeah, I have to, I'm always the calming face of, you know, I have to keep my shit together. You know, there's times, and this is where I like working for my company, because I'm never really alone. Most of the people that work in our company come from production backgrounds. Mm-hmm. So they've been there at 7:30 when the board isn't working or whatever, or the dimmer isn't turning on. Going to site and trying to triage, you know, I do the best that I can in an emergency call. But yeah, there's times where I call and I'm like, fuck, I don't know. There's giant ants everywhere. I don't know. Like, how do you, what's happening?
The lights are going off. I don't know. Yeah.
So,
there's a Morse code thing happening.
Yeah. There's some sort of, like, I feel supported that I can call people that are a lot smarter than me that work inside my company and say, like, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. And usually we always strive for lights on. If we can get the lights on, it may not do everything we need it to do, but we don't want to cancel a show. Because, you know, like, if Miss Susie's third grade dance recital has to be done under fluorescence, that's unfortunate, but nobody's going to really care.
Right.
Like, if O in Vegas has to call a show because the lights aren't working, that's a different scale of of things. So we work very, very hard to get stuff going in those situations.
Maybe it's cut the lightning from Act 3, but we'll still get the show done.
That actually, and it's interesting because the lightning from Act 3 being removed always saves the show file.
Yeah.
No matter what's wrong, I found out that, oh, we haven't cut the lightning yet.
Right.
It's just like turning it off and on, you know?
Right. Yeah, I have to turn it off and on again. Yeah.
You obviously seem to like your job very much.
I do.
You seem to have had this dream and you have gotten the job in that field. For designers and techies, what were the things in your sort of journey that you can attribute to where you are now?
I think the biggest thing was always being curious and never being afraid to ask. You know, the technical community for entertainment is really very supportive, right? There's not anyone trying to keep you down. There's not anyone trying to keep you away. So I found that my natural curiosity was just supported. And so I asked what was probably a very dumb question, and someone would often say either, hey, I don't have time, go look here, and I would go read about it or email someone or something, or would take the time to say, okay, let's talk about why, you know, this is doing what it is or what the purpose of this is. In growing myself professionally, just always asking questions and always trying to soak up as much as possible.
Well, and I think an important thing is when you said, when people say, I don't have time, and you went and looked at that, being a sensitive person, if someone was like, I don't have time for that, it'd be like, I'm just going to stop.
Right. I have to change careers now.
Exactly. Got to go.
I can never show my face there again.
Exactly. So I think also having the knowledge that it's nothing personal, you just need to find the answer somewhere else.
I mean, knowledge, maybe. Maybe I'm just stubborn and stupid. Like, you know.
No, I think it's amazing.
The way that my brain works, I really have to fundamentally understand something before I can do it or use it or explain it to someone else, get good and inside of it, and then I can be comfortable with it. So I think because of that, I was always just persistent in asking, you know, what does this do? Now that sort of the interwebs.com is where it is, there are forums for any level of technology. People like me, who someone calls and says, I don't know this. Great. I know now, so I'm happy to share with you. You know, so knowing what you don't know is a big deal. If you go out on a gig and you oversell yourself, someone's going to ask you to do something, and if you can't do it, you just need to own up to the fact that you can't do it. No one's ever going to penalize you, but in the heat of the moment.
But if you fuck it up and said you knew how to do it, then.
Exactly. Yeah. Then they have to do it twice, and nobody's got time for that in productions. I'm still learning stuff every day, right? Like, it hasn't stopped because of where my career is.
It's so complex, and it's only getting more so, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I imagine because of technology, you'll never stop learning stuff.
I don't think we're in a generation anymore where you can say, like, nah, I'm good. Right. I got it all, you know? Like,
nothing left to learn.
Yeah, I'm set, you know? That certainly with how quickly technology is evolving in our generation, you have to be proactive in staying on top of that stuff. Being an expert in stuff is really, really good. And
I know you said you freelance still. Like, do you have passion projects?
You know, I think actually right now the thing that's helping me tick is this education project. So it happens to be a passion project within my company. You know, everyone within my company is being gracious enough to, like, let me be a part of. And, you know, the running joke inside is like, I'm always happy to have an opinion. Like, use it or don't, but, like, I'm going to say my mind.
Right.
Someone helped me, you know, someone reached down and pulled my hand to help me up to the next step. I think that that's something that I really want to be able to offer other people who want, who are interested and passionate. So this education front that my company is doing really supports that right now. So.
Do you guys go into schools or, like, what is that?
It's sort of twofold. We have an education center. So here in our New York office, we have a room that we're doing classes every 2 weeks. Just we hire real programmers that are out there every day that come freelance with us and teach. So I sort of keep them up to date on new software, training materials.
So if someone wanted to take that class, any class, how would they find out about that?
It's my company's website, etcconnect.com.
And are these classes for, like, dummies? Or are these for, like, you need to know some base knowledge going in there?
All levels. So the first level says, here's a light board. Let's look at what all the buttons are.
That's
Let's look at the back of it.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I worked at a light board like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I don't think I know anything.
We do that, and then we do advanced classes like, okay, you're setting up a multi-studio facility network. How does that look?
Cool.
How do these components plug together? IP addresses, you know, MAC addresses, all the wireless things like that. The classroom sort of spans the gamut between intro and what we call advanced topics.
Okay.
We have a group out of Wisconsin who travels around and visits places that set up training, so more like regional events, some universities, things like that. And then the big thing that we did, we started the project about 2 years ago. We got everything that we wanted so far online about a year ago, but we took all of our classroom stuff and did a video series. It's free on our YouTube. All of the workbooks that you get in the classroom are free to download. So the idea, we have paperwork and stuff like a light plot, a fake light plot. All this stuff goes together. So if you're a lighting professor, you can download this package and have a place to start to help teach students. You can teach yourself stuff. So it's been a little surreal because I'll visit locations and they're like, hey, I saw your videos. And and I'm like the ones you have to pay for, or the ETC ones? And they're like, no, the ETC ones. I'm like, oh, good. That's the ones I'd hope you'd see.
It's so interesting because I feel like we talk so much about acting classes. And so it's cool to know a little bit more about the technical classes that happen outside of a college setting, when I wouldn't know that companies like yours would offer that. So that's amazing.
Education facilities have a hard time keeping up on technology because technology costs money.
Right.
And by and large, arts in education isn't properly funded in this country. So even for education institutions to put out programs, how up-to-date can they keep stuff? I'm at the source. I'm at the spring, right? I know where these boards come from. I've watched them roll off the line, you know? So I think there's a little bit of a responsibility that we have to get that information out. It shouldn't be a secret, right? Like, this isn't something that we're trying to hide from people and, like, only a select group of people get to know how to run this. Like,
somebody's buying your technology.
Yep.
It only behooves you as a company to train these people how to use it.
Oh, yeah.
And your methodology or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. And in New York, much like actors, you know, programmers, lighting designers will come in and out of different venues. So a venue may own a board that the designer may drift through for 2 weeks or whatever. Not just owners of a board, but people that interact with them because they're in a space for a particular production or what have you.
I keep thinking about Swine Palace, which is the equity theater that's associated with LSU where we went to school. It's an old pig barn. That's why it's called Swine's Palace. And they
nothing
they
but the best.
Well, I mean, went in the South, you know.
Right.
I grew up there. I know.
But because it's this gigantic, at the time, dirt floored space, they installed this ridiculously expensive sound system, this mic drop sound integrated whatever system, that by the time we got into that space, no one knew how to use. It just sat there and it collected dust, and it's probably still installed there, but nobody uses it.
And I think that that's fairly common, you know.
But they got a grant, they got some money, they bought it, and
you
got
to spend it. You want the best, because you're not going to get that grant money for another 20 years.
Right.
It's got to last. It's got to be good.
The person that knows how to use it, lose and
graduated, removed. You know, we hopefully have given people an avenue to come and say, oh, you just joined this theater. You have our board.
Mm-hmm.
come on in, you know, even worst case, like, watch the videos, at least sit with the tutorials and get started, you know. You don't have to mash on it with, like, a hammer. That kind of is my passion right now, you know. And it's weird when your hobby is also sort of your job.
I think that's perfect. I think that's what most people hope for.
Yeah.
It does mean your life is theater a lot.
My life is very entwined with my work. I try and travel a little bit as well for personal reasons.
Yeah. not just to end up at a theater somewhere.
Yeah, there's nothing better than flying out on a beautiful day and being like, I'm going to go sit in a dark theater all day.
What are your favorite types of shows to work on?
I mean, for me, in my position with my company, the more fun stuff is the more complex stuff, right? If they've got a problem that they can't solve, like, that's where I love. I get to go in, dig in, and really figure out how to make the technology accomplish what they need. For my career, that's the most fun. For programming, you know, there's just nothing better than, like, a 60 or 70 moving light rig with a video wall and some live music on stage. Like,
yeah, totally.
That's, you know, you get to play with the band, you know. Concert, live event, rock and roll-y type stuff is always fun to program and bash on. My training is theatrical, and so there's still something that's really, really magical about going through a whole technical process, starting with Q1, right, mm-hmm. with the designer, and through a lot of hard work and collaboration with the other designers in the room.
Are you in any unions or anything?
I have not joined any of the labor unions or design unions.
I guess you wouldn't really have to, right? Since you're under this, like, independent company.
Yep. So a lot of the people in New York that I work with, end users, programmers, designers, many of them are union. There's not really a reason for me to join. And, you know, to be honest, there's a little bit of my coworker, several of them are actually cardholders, which is great because they can walk into a venue and be there. There's also a little bit of something where I can be like, can't touch that. There is a little bit of, like,
yeah,
that keeps the roles very clear.
Exactly. Right? And most everybody that I work with, certainly on Broadway, you know, if there's something that I need to do, generally it's just, hey, are you okay if I do this really quickly? 99% of the time, they're like, absolutely, go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
It's been very, very rare that I've had to say, okay, now click this, now put this button, now do that. By and large, everyone knows that I'm there to help, not
right.
know, make them look better or not. Right. You know, I'm very union supportive, but for me, there's not anything.
It doesn't seem necessary.
Yeah. I actually worked on a show where I was a lighting designer, a production of Midsummer when marriage equality was coming into New York State. The couples were a lesbian couple and a gay couple. Theseus was the president. But one of the things that the director was super interested in, Puck and his fairies were all like drugged out rave kids. So the forest was a club.
Uh-huh.
So there was a lot of lighting technology involved.
Yeah.
But his whole theory on the show was, you know, you should be able to see like something normal that you totally know what it is. And then something completely unexpected happens. The last moment when Puck is doing is If We Shadows Have Offended. We set up the moment where Puck walks around and is just sort of shutting off all the lights. It's like breakering down things and it's getting darker and darker. And he rolls out a ghost light on stage and the light bulb's lit. And he's finishing his speech and he unscrews the bulb and the bulb stays lit in his hand. And he gets to the very end of his speech and he blows it out like a candle and it goes dark.
That's awesome.
I'm literally tearing up right now.
It was one of the coolest moments that I've been a part of on stage. And I actually worked with one of my engineers at my company to like make that mm-hmm. moment happen because it was electronics and LEDs and battery, yeah. rechargeable batteries and a DMX line that went through
yeah.
the. It was a whole bunch of complex stuff. But every night the play ended at that moment. I mean, I'm even getting like little. It was like such a.
Sitting here crying about lights now.
crying about lights. You know, we had done a lot of other sort of tricks and things, but to end the show with this is the last light source. And he blows it out like a candle, and it had to, like, the little dim to it as well, like a candle would. And being a part of a solution to
yeah.
a really, like, big moment that, mm-hmm. that can affect a whole play, I love that stuff, you know?
It's really, I mean, like, a moment like that, that somebody would dream that up, and then you could, like, figure out a way to do that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, going into a theater, as people that are making very small theater and very low budgets, it's sort of like, okay, this is what we have. Like, let's just sort of make it look as good as we can. We need to make this light bulb a candle.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And we can actually do that.
Yeah. I mean, that's amazing.
I'm someone that
doesn't know jack shit about lighting, but I hold it to be, like, very important if I'm in social situations. I'm like, I can't sit here in this fluorescence because this party would be 11 times more fun if we...
I feel so strongly about overhead lighting.
I mean, how much time do we have? Because I have all sorts of opinions on this.
Let's talk about party lighting.
Let's talk about party lighting. Let's do this.
All night.
Lighting designers in the theater have been playing with your sense of space and emotion, you know, capitalizing on what they know makes you fearful in moments. They've been playing subtle tricks since lighting design became an art form. The fact that, like, higher color temperatures can irritate you or keep you awake or make you feel uncomfortable or dodgy.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that stark light, like an overhead source, as opposed to, like, a reflected source, doesn't fill in the shadows as well and makes you seem more loomy and ominous. It, you know, this is what lighting design is, right? People get paid, you know, good money to to know the physics and how to manipulate people psychologically in a theater, you know. It's often said that, you know, if you don't recognize the lighting, then the designer did a great job. There was a big shift where iPhone just introduced Night Shift a version ago, where...
Yeah, Brendan actually just showed that to me.
Yeah, the color temperature, you know, we have receptors in our eyes that are connected to producing melatonin, and when blue light is being absorbed by these, it prevents melatonin from being created. But when warm light is present and the blue light isn't present, it allows melatonin. So the idea being, we grew up around fire, right, as humans. You get to dark, you get to firelight, you get to that really warm color, you want to go sleepy time. I think it's super interesting that the physiology of lighting is really becoming a hot topic. You know, healthcare professionals are doing all sorts of crazy stuff with hospital lighting and shifting color temperatures. And anyone who has ever been in my home or a roommate of mine knows that I never use my overhead lights. I don't use LEDs in my home. The technology is getting better every day. I don't think it's quite there yet. So I have, you know, reflected light torchieres that bounce light off the ceiling, and they're a low color temperature. They're about 2700 Kelvin. If you live in New York City, it is patent pending, guaranteed your money back. You're sitting at dinner and the light drops from like 80% to 20% in like 2 seconds.
Right.
Like, ooh, it's moody now.
Right.
It must
right.
be dinner time.
Right. The manager's making a sweep.
Yeah, exactly. Those are things that affect us in a way that, we don't consciously understand. It's cool, though, that the medical community, the larger lighting community outside of entertainment, is starting to realize that this actually affects our health. I think the other thing, having lived in New York for a decade and knowing a bunch of people that have moved here and sort of passed through the city, man, if you know your way around a Source 4 and you can swing a wrench, if you're an actor and you're not picking up the shows that you want, you can still work in the business. Temping isn't sort of the only thing. There are lots of crews that are needed and tons of, you know, you don't obviously need to be union. Sometimes you just need to hang a light, know how to focus it when the designer tells you to point it somewhere. Those kind of skills can keep you eating.
Where would you suggest someone look for those kind of gigs?
It's mostly off-Broadway stuff. Playbill.com actually has a lot of listings for some of the stuff. Backstagejobs.com is a big listing for people just looking for crew people.
Is Backstagejobs.com different than Backstage.com?
I think so.
Is BackstageJobs.com just specifically tech?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I don't know Backstage.com, so...
Okay. That's, like, so refreshing. I'm glad you asked that because I thought it was the same thing.
Yeah, no, BackstageJobs.com is for technicians.
Okay.
Yeah, and oftentimes, if you get into a space, you know, you go to La Mama and you work on a light hang, and you're semi-competent and not egregious to work with, you know, oftentimes you get put on a call list. Like, they'll, when they're looking for people, they can reach out and call you. There's a ton of event work in the city, right? So Fashion Week, everybody that I know is destroyed for 2 weeks for Fashion Week. They work their balls off, and they make a fuck ton of money in those 2 weeks.
Yeah, I have a lot of stage manager friends that do Fashion Week.
But the other work that's out there for Fashion Week is galleries. A lot of designs will rent out gallery spaces or event spaces. I just want your hand to hold. I think my hack is having a personal business organization, I guess. Keeping a really tight calendar and schedule. You know, everything should go into some sort of schedule or calendar. Making sure you're timely with responses on emails and calls.
Do you use, like, a Google Calendar, or what are you...
I actually, my company uses Outlook, and I use iCal for my personal calendars.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
right. Is that linkable? Is iCal linkable?
Yeah, you can actually share it out. There's a little widget that you can download that will put your iCal into your Outlook. You know, so everything goes in my calendar, or else... I mean, I have a brain like a sieve, so... Like, if I didn't do that, I would lose it. Save every contact of anybody you ever interact with. I always store anybody that I've talked to and make some notes, some tasteful notes, because you never, if you accidentally share that contact and you've given them a bad nickname,
right?
We're such a tight industry. If you're a professional in this field, you're going to run into the same people again. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a question for someone that you worked with 5 years ago. This year starts with a 2. Like, just save the contact, you know?
Right.
You know, so it takes 2 seconds to do, so just be a responsible... As a freelancer, the hardest part is you're running your own business. You know, there's several Broadway shows that the first Broadway show this particular designer got was because the big Broadway designer was busy with 6 other shows and just couldn't handle it. Right. And so a producer calls, so-and-so has been working in my studio, you know, being my associate for 4 or 5 years... I'm going to hand off this show to them. I think that, yes, it is competitive. Yes, there are a lot of people coming in. I think there's a lot of other places to light other than Broadway. Broadway seems to be, you know, sort of the crown jewels of commercial theater in America. But there's a lot of other television, you know, The Voice needs a lighting designer. Uh-huh. A lot more movies are using theatrical people. And certainly live events, concerts, award shows. Mm-hmm. You know, architectural lighting firms are starting to hire a lot of theatrically trained people.
Oh, that's cool.
Because of their training, you know. Yeah. There's an aesthetic. Architectural lighting is generally considered very static, and one of the things that theatrical lighting designers are trained in is time, right? You know, pacing something and shifting over large periods of time. So that's a great place to look for work as well.
Well, great. Well, Nick, thank you so much.
Well, thanks for having me.
Will you tell us again where, if someone wants to take classes, with where they can go again? Is it the website?
Sure. My company, ETC, our website is etcconnect.com.
Everyone, you've been listening to Sweet Soubrettes, All That Glitters, from the album Days and Nights.
You should subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher, or go to the website,
www.classactorhack.com.
You should like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
And that's it.
And that's it.
Is that everything? Sure.
I think it's it.
Carrier pigeons, or how do you...
Carrier pigeons, a couple bathroom stalls.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. If anything, my mother will listen to it.